We're going to return now to 1 John chapter 5. We read there the whole chapter. We're going to read again verse 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is the testimony. The word here can mean something along the lines of what we would just mean when we use the word news. This is the news. This is God's declaration to us, his assertion, his claim for us, that we have news tonight. And this is news for everyone who has the Son, Jesus Christ, for everyone who believes in Jesus for their salvation. We have eternal life. This is the news. It's something truly wonderful for us in the midst of the kind of news that we're normally presented with. This is the news, says John, that we can really focus on every day and relish and delight in because of Jesus, because of the Son. This life that's in the Son, Jesus, we have eternal life. This is our great news tonight. So last night I just had a quick look through the BBC News front page just to see what kind of headlines there were on the news there. And obviously there were some fairly weighty headlines. But also on the BBC News homepage last night, there were some maybe less important things, depending on your politics. Henry Bolton sacked as UKIP leader. That's not exactly an earthquake, but there was an earthquake felt across parts of the UK, but it was tiny. Huddersfield Town were beaten by Manchester United 2-0. A woman followed her handbag into an X-ray machine. A mum made a life-size cake, or two cakes, that were exactly like the two twins that she has, and had them start to eat those big cakes. China has a luxury hotel for dogs. And there was a news item about recycled clothes at London Fashion Week. And finally, that robots get their own Winter Olympics. So there's the kind of things that have to be put up in the news. Presumably people feel they've got to fill that front page with something. And in the absence of real news, here's some news that is hardly exactly important. But we've got news. And this is what we should be excited about. It's news for ourselves, and it's news to tell others as well. And it's not just news for 30 seconds or a day. This is news for now and forever. The news is, as John says here, God's given us eternal life. This is the testimony. This is the news. The gift of God, says Paul, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Or Jesus, I give to my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. So what is the news? What is the news this evening? What is the news for the Christian? Well, first of all, it's about us, verse 11 says. And if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can put your name in there. God has given you. I can say God has given me eternal life. And that's something really wonderful. He's given it, it says. He's given it. We didn't have it, but then he gave it to us. So we were in a place where we didn't have eternal life. God gave it to us. That was great news. And it's life. Not this life, because it was something in addition to this life. Not just the kind of life we were living before we received Jesus, but a new level of life. A better life, God's life. Life that is life in the Son, as it says in verse 11. It's to be with God. It's to share in His life. It's to be known by Him and to be loved by Him, and to know that, and to know that He knows us, and to know that He loves us, and to be satisfied in that. It's what we're made for. We're not made for this life. This life is a life that contains a great deal of sorrow, a great deal of brokenness, a great deal of emptiness, a great deal of discontent, and it's not what we're made for. We're made for something better. We're made for God's life. We're made for eternal life. Life that's never going to be taken away. However good this life is, it's not eternal life. This biological life, this temporary life, this life that is bounded by birth and death. However good it ever gets, it's nothing compared to what God has given to His children. And so we need to recognize what we really are made for. What God has given to us is what we're made for. He's given us eternal life. I don't know about you, but sometimes around our house I'll find maybe a bit of plastic. A little bit of plastic, and you think, what's that of? Where did that come from? And you're scratching your head and trying to figure out where it belongs. What's it fallen off? Is it part of the Hoover? Or, you know, has it come from... It used to be the kids' toys that were often the source of the little bit of plastic. And where does it go? And what's it about? And just as a little bit of plastic, it's of very little use whatsoever. But put in the right place where it belongs. It's an integral part of something, and it's important. And we're just like that. We're like that little bit of plastic. We might not even feel like we fit very well in this world. We might not feel like that we're even compatible with this world. We don't feel like we can really make it our home, because it keeps on making life difficult for us, whether it's with illness or whether it's hard times in our family or accidents or bad news or whatever. Surely we don't really fit here. And what we do fit for is what God's made us for, eternal life. And so it doesn't matter where you look, and whatever person you see, they may be just like that bit of plastic, that man who's dying, or that woman who's suffered abuse, or that young person who's not got a job, or, you know, that pensioner who's sitting alone, lonely in their house. You know, you think, what is that person for? And on one level, they can just look like that bit of plastic. Where does it belong? But if any of these people, or if any of us, has Jesus Christ in our lives, then we know where we belong. And we know that we belong with God in His life. And it's not this life. It's eternal life. It's life, yes, that lasts forever. But more than that, it's life sharing the life of God. And as long as God lives, we live. And we live with Him. And that's where we're really made for, and that's where we really fit. That's the news. Now, news is something that people need to hear. How did you hear the news? Or how do we keep hearing the news? Because it's good news, and you want to keep hearing good news. There's plenty of bad news, but we want to keep hearing good news. How do we hear this news? Well, first of all, we're hearing it right now. And that tells us something. It tells us the importance of reading the Bible, which is what we're doing just now, and studying what it says. It tells us the importance of coming to hear the Word of God being preached and explained. But even though I would read the Bible and explain it to you, you need a greater testimony than my testimony. If man tells you that God can give us eternal life, well, that's good. But better if God tells us. And that's what John tells us in verse 9. That man's testimony, yes, it's good. It's good if someone tells you about this. But God's testimony that eternal life is real, God's testimony is greater. It's the testimony of God. So if I come and tell you tonight that a Christian man or woman has eternal life, you might think, well, that's fantastic, but it's just Roddy. But if God tells you that you've got eternal life, well, that's the last word, and that's all you need to hear. So how does God tell us? How does God tell us that we've got eternal life? Well, again, John explains that. God tells us that we've got eternal life through verse 7, the three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, the three who agree. The three are in agreement, it says. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. We accept man's testimony, says God, but God's testimony is greater. And this is a testimony that comes through the Spirit and the water and the blood. So I'm testifying to you. I'm giving you the good news tonight. Every Christian has eternal life through Jesus Christ. But God is telling you this too through the Spirit, the water and the blood. What does that mean? Well, first of all, the water and the blood, what does that refer to? Well, the blood is probably the most obvious one, or the more obvious one of these two. The blood, well, the blood is the blood of Jesus. The blood refers to the cross. The cross, the place where Jesus takes the penalty for our sins. The cross, the place where Jesus defeats the evil one. The place where Jesus gives his life to give us life. The blood, then, is perhaps easier, and it's a historic and well-attested reality, what Jesus has done for us. The water, well, again, probably best then to think of this as referring to Jesus as well. And the water then would be the water of Jesus' baptism, which was an incredibly important point in his life, where he, having lived for 30 years as an artisan, a carpenter, in Nazareth and traveling in his work, then dedicated himself to the work of proclaiming the kingdom of God and of ultimately being a sacrifice for us. The water is the water of Jesus' baptism. Again, a reality it's attested to in the Gospels, and the result of it is attested to in the ministry of Jesus, his dedication to us. These things are things of God. They're not things of man. The things of Jesus are the things of God. The things of Jesus are greater than man. The things of Jesus can't be explained by a man who was born of Mary. The things of Jesus are the things of the power of God at work in the ministry, in the life of Jesus Christ. So God is testifying in Jesus. And he's testifying to the power of his ability to bring eternal life to us. It's great to read the Gospels. I listened this afternoon to Robert Koch's message last week, and it was one of the great things. It was fantastic. What a breath of fresh air Robert was. Just great. And I hope that it was a real blessing to you. And I hope it made you take some things to heart too, and challenge you to in your life to expect greater things of God too. But he said that he read the Gospels through and through and through over a period of I think it was a couple of years. and that that was actually what led to his conversion. And I heard a very similar testimony recently from Colin MacDonald in Glenelg, that in a sermon of Donald Beaton's, who said, if you doubt that Jesus is Lord, go home and read through the four Gospels. Colin did just that. He went through home and he read the four Gospels, and at the end of it he said, Jesus is Lord. I have to bow the knee. I have to begin to follow him. And it's great to read the Gospels because they are the testimony of God. They're telling us about God's power, and they speak to us of the water, they speak to us of the blood, they speak to us of Jesus and of what God has done to make eternal life possible for us. So we hear the news from the preacher, we hear the news from the Bible, we hear the news from God through the water and the blood of Jesus, baptism and cross, but we also hear it through the Spirit. He also testifies, it's Spirit who is the truth, as verse 6 says. Have you heard tonight from the Holy Spirit that you have eternal life? Well, where would I hear that, you might be asking? Well, the place that you're going to hear it is in your heart. Anyone who believes in the Son of God, verse 10 says, has this testimony in his heart. Because when you become a Christian, when you receive eternal life, you receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. So you're going to hear the Spirit's testimony in your heart. When the Spirit comes in, you begin to hear a different version of yourself. I remember the night I became a Christian, and I had a deep sense of God coming into my life. I then went to sleep because it was late. And I woke up the next morning, and there was a thought in my heart, and it was this, you're a Christian now. And I really hadn't a clue what a Christian was at that stage because of my godless kind of background. But there was a testimony in my heart. Something has changed. And that's what happens in the heart of someone who receives Jesus. It may be a very subtle thing, but you need to realize that it's there. Paul speaks about it in Romans 8. He speaks about how in our hearts we have this cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, it says, testifies, there's that word again, testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. So if you're a Christian, you hear this good news of eternal life from the Bible and from the preacher, and you hear it from Jesus and in his life, and it's a testimony of God there, but you also hear the testimony of God as the Holy Spirit speaking in your heart and giving you a sense that now you can come to God in a new way. Now he is your Father, and now you are in a new relationship with him that you never had before. And how do you know this news is true? It's my final point. How do you know this news is true? How do you know that what you're being told by the Bible, by the preacher, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit is true? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit tells the truth. As we read in verse 6, the Spirit is the truth. If the Holy Spirit is giving you that confidence in your heart that you can call God your Father, then he's giving you that confidence. And it's a true confidence to have, because he doesn't lie. But then you might say, well, okay, I've got that sort of sense in my heart that I've got a new relationship with God and I can call him Father, but how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's my imagination. Well, what does the Spirit say? The Spirit says, verse 11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So you know in your heart, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that it is the Holy Spirit, when your hope of eternal life is based on the Son, is based on Jesus. Because if it's in your imagination, if it's just something you're making up, then your hope won't be based on Jesus. Your hope will be based on yourself, on how good you are, or on something you've done, or on something someone else, like your parents, for example, have done for you. It will be based on your feelings, perhaps, or on your church. But it won't be based on Jesus. And if you're hearing in your own heart that you've got hopes of eternal life, but they're based on you going to church, or they're based on you having lived a good life, then that's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us a testimony that bases what we believe we have received from God upon Jesus and upon what Jesus has done. The Spirit will say we've got eternal life because Jesus is good, not because we're good. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That's what the Spirit will say. As Jesus said Himself, the Spirit will testify of Me. He will bring glory to Me by taking what is Mine and making it known to you. So how can I know it's the Holy Spirit giving me the confidence that I have eternal life? It's when my confidence is in the Son, Jesus Christ. But then here's another question. Okay, if we can know the good news is true because the Spirit testifies that it's based upon Jesus. But then we might ask, well, how do I know that what Jesus did really happened? And again, you might answer, well, because the Holy Spirit gives you that testimony. Yes, but how do I know that what Jesus did really happened? Well, because it's history. It's history. The Gospels that we read and the epistles that are based upon them, they're speaking about things that happened. John here tells us at the beginning of his letter, verse 3 of chapter 1, that he's writing as an eyewitness. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, he says. We're not making up stuff here. We're telling you what happened. Now, I know today it's very fashionable to make light of history and to deny history. And we often hear people denying, for example, the Holocaust. Well, if people today can deny that 6 million Jews were exterminated within living memory, if there are people that deny that today, it's hardly surprising if you get people who will deny that one Jew, Jesus Christ, was exterminated on a cross. However, if you have at any time had the privilege of listening to the testimony of one Holocaust survivor, asked with trembling lips, trembling voice, they tell of the horrors that they witnessed, you know that is true. And John here writes, trembling too, the pen trembles in his hand, because it's only 40 years when John writes this book, since Jesus died for John's sins and rose again. John saw the Son of God come by water and by blood. And he's saying to us here, even if you to whom I write were not there when Jesus came, you can rely on what I and the other witnesses write, because we're talking about history, real, solid history that we were there to witness and that we were appointed as witnesses of. Again, Robert put it very powerfully, actually, last week, didn't he? He spoke about how those eyewitnesses then went on, many to be killed for the things that they were believing. And he said how his English teacher in Jamaica had said to him that he believed in Jesus because of the eyewitnesses. And they weren't liars, he said, because people make up lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble, he said. Oh, that was really good. They make up lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. And if the Christians were making up lies about Jesus, then those lies certainly got them into trouble. That's not why you make up lies. You make up lies to get out of trouble. Like Peter saying, no, I don't know this man. Remember that? That's when the lie happened. When Peter was denying the history. But when the apostles stood by the truth, they suffered often. Many of them died for their belief in Jesus because they knew they were speaking about history, and we're speaking about history. We know that that's history that we've got in front of us here. And so next week when we come to the communion service and we come to the bread and the wine, we're handling real things, and we can know that the real things we're handling are because of the historic reality of Jesus initiating the Lord's Supper, and because of his water and blood, and because of his Spirit testifying that we have eternal life. So we can stake our lives on this, and we can stake our eternity on it, on that which is testified to by the Spirit and the water and the blood. Now you might think that in your life each day you don't stake your life very often on anything, but actually we do. Every day we stake our lives on things. It might be something simple like that the thing that we're eating isn't poisonous, or the water that's coming out the tap isn't going to kill us. But it may be something like driving around a corner, a blind corner, and you have to decide which side of the road you're going to drive on. If you make the wrong decision, you may have a head-on collision and be killed. Or when you're driving along the road, which foot pedal are you going to press when you have to brake suddenly? You have to decide to do that, and it might be something you do almost instinctively in the end, but still in all, you make the decision, and it's a life-death decision. Well, this decision to trust this news, to trust the Spirit, the water and the blood, to trust God's Son, to trust the testimony of the preacher and of the Bible, to trust good news that God has given us eternal life, is a life-death decision. But we can stake everything upon it because it's reliable news. It's news that we know is based on the historic realities of Jesus, and it's based upon the Spirit's testimony of Jesus in our hearts. It's based upon what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and what God has made available to us through Jesus for us to trust. And our decision then, just as it is to drive on the left side of the road or to press the brake pedal in the middle there, our decision is to trust our life and eternity to Jesus Christ. And the life that is in the Son is eternal life. We can know that we have that life because of our trust in the Son. We can rest confidently upon him tonight, and next weekend at the Lord's Supper we can come with a real confidence and a real joy to remember that history of what Jesus has done for us, and to rejoice in the outlook, the prospect, the future, the destiny that we have through Jesus of eternal life. This is the testimony, this is the news. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And if we're trusting Jesus tonight, then we have that eternal life. If we're not trusting Jesus tonight, then it's time to trust him, because there isn't anything or anyone else to trust which can or who can give us eternal life. this life is in God's Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen.